let me ask you a question. Have you ever purchased a product because you saw it advertised on TV and it worked well, it looked like the ideal thing that you have always wanted, and so you purchased it and you went home, and when you got home and you tried it, it was anything but what you saw on the ad? It is no wonder why nowadays when they do these things, you go into the store and they will say, as seen on TV, trying to convince you that, you know, what you saw on TV is what you're now seeing right here on the shelf. So it may be a knife. You know, they'll advertise a knife that never gets dull, never needs to be sharpened, all right? It is sharpened for life. And after a couple of uses, you find yourself needing the file to sharpen that knife. How about the ad that tells you that you can lose 15 pounds in 30 days? And it looks well, so they show you a before and after picture. And you are convinced that if you get that same product, it will produce the same result. Then again, oftentimes we are disappointed. How about someone? Here you have a lady, young or old, who's looking for love. So what she does, she gets on the internet and she links up with someone, especially from some far country. And he sends her a picture of himself. And he's a hunk, really. Mm. Handsome. Mm. Pretty much all that she had ever dreamed about. And she felt like she has hit the jackpot where a husband is concerned. Or when they finally met, she was at a loss for words because what she saw on the picture was not what she's seeing standing before her now. Or vice versa, it may be a man who's looking for a wife and he follows the picture. He gets excited by what he's seeing on the picture until he sees the person for the first time, and it's not the picture he saw that he's now looking at before him. In other words, you know, there's a saying that says, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that means that you must be careful about things that sound good and pleasing, because oftentimes it is not true. In other words, what you see nowadays is not what you're guaranteed to get. On TV or wherever, what you see is not what you're guaranteed to get. Most of us, if not all of us, have been conned. We have been deceived by someone or something at some point in our lives. It is the world in which we live, a world that is filled with hypocrisy, a world that is filled with con man-ism, and the list goes on. It is no wonder that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, where under the law of Moses, the law of Moses says, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. In other words, not one person. If a matter is going to be established, to avoid lying, to avoid deceit, let's bring in others, two or three witnesses, the Bible says, that every matter may be established. And this runs right throughout the Old Testament, where it was a principle that if a man was going to be killed because he murdered somebody, then the accusation must be done by two or three witnesses, not by one person. This was an established principle under the Old Testament system and carried over into the New Testament. All right? When Peter wrote his letter to the Christians, especially 1 Peter, and the passage that Brother Davis read for us, Peter realized that these Christians to whom he was writing had the issue of insincerity. They had the issue of hypocrisy. And so in his letter, he sought to deal with this particular issue. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, look at verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at what Peter says.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Yes.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
So in especially verse 7, he talks about the genuineness of your faith, which implies that one can have faith that is not genuine. That's implication there. I want you, my brother, to drop down to verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, mm-hmm. see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
So he talks about sincere love of the brethren, unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, our love for the brethren must be true. It must be sincere. If our faith is going to be seen as genuine, then we must have sincere love for the brethren. Drop down to verse to chapter 2 and verse 1. And look at what he says regarding hypocrisy.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice mm-hmm. and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings.
So here, Peter again talks about hypocrisy. So obviously, his audience had an issue with insincerity. They had an issue with being genuine, and Peter sought to address that. So let me this morning, for the next few minutes, talk to you on the subject, the value of sincerity. The value of sincerity. That's the lesson that I want to present this morning. First of all, and I have two points. First of all, let's look at the consequences of insincerity. The consequences of being insincere. The Lord warned us several times in the Old Testament, warned his people about the consequence of insincerity. Because in Jeremiah chapter 7, we find the scriptures very, very clear where God chastised Judah. Judah was one of the tribes, was the main tribe. And oftentimes, Judah was used to represent all of God's people. Jeremiah chastised Judah for pretending to worship God while they commit murder, theft, perjury, you name it. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, look at what Jeremiah says.
Behold, ye trust in mm-hmm. lying words that cannot profit. Mm-hmm. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
So here, through Jeremiah, God was warning Judah, his people, about the consequences of their insincerity. All right? Now, this was nothing new because his people was guilty of this over and over and over again. In Ezekiel, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31, again we find Ezekiel, a prophet of God, condemning the nation of Israel for not practicing what they supposedly believe. So in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31, look at what the prophet of God says.
And they came unto thee mm-hmm. as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them.
So they hear his words, but they would not do them. And this is very important. In other words, brethren, what we are talking about is that when we are insincere, there are consequences that will follow. The Pharisees, we're going to find in the Old Testament, the Pharisees were no different. Because in the book of Matthew chapter 15, we find that the Pharisees masqueraded the hypocrisy. They appeared to be genuine, but deep down they were not. So in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, look at what the Bible says.
But in vain they do worship me, mm-hmm. teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
So Jesus Christ was saying that they were worshiping God in vain. Mm-hmm. They appeared to be genuine, but what they were doing was just presenting the doctrines of men, doctrines that they had concocted. So they were not sincere about worshiping God. They were sincere about worshiping themselves and what they did. They only pretended to worship God. In Matthew 15, look at verse 13. Because their hypocrisy caused them to be blind to the teachings of God. Look at verse 13.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up.
Oh, there you have it. That when we seek to be insincere, when we seek to deceive, then the Bible says that every plant that he has not planted shall be rooted up. Which means, brethren and friends, that if a man is a part of a church that cannot find its origin in the scriptures, then that plant will be uprooted, so to speak. Because it is not a plant that was planted based on the word of the Almighty God. Matthew 23, verse 5. Matthew 23 and verse 5. Look at the Pharisees again, because they really epitomized hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. Look at what Jesus Christ says.
But all their works they do were to be seen of men.
Mm-hmm.
They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues.
So what they did was to be seen by others. Pretty much like what is happening today. In many churches, worship services designed to please the onlookers, especially if it is being done on television. There's a lot of ornamental stuff and fandangles to make the worship service appear to be attractive. But hear what the Bible says here. They do their works to be seen by men. We are talking about the consequences of insincerity. And again, this was a problem that affected the early church. Not just the Pharisees, but the early church began to experience the problem of hypocrisy. Because in the book of Acts chapter 5, we won't be reading this section, but in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, how they deceived, or at least tried to deceive Peter and the apostles, and it led to their deaths as a result, because we're talking about the consequences of hypocrisy. In Galatians chapter 2, the book of Galatians, and chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Paul had to rebuke, guess who? Peter. The same Peter that preached years before on the day of Pentecost, Paul had to rebuke him for being hypocritical and even leading Barnabas, another disciple, astray. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14.
But when Peter was come to Antioch,
mm-hmm.
I withstood him to the face, yes, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their simulation.
Yes. So hear this. And this is something that can easily creep into our lives. Peter, of all persons, Peter, the very same one who before in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 had confessed, he said, "No, I know that God is no respecter of persons." Remember that? Years later, we find Peter acting hypocritically. He was eating with the Gentiles. He was pretending as though he was for everybody, that he was not partial. But he was eating with the Gentiles, fellowshipping with them until his fellow Jews came. And because he did not want to be seen, him being a Jew, with Gentiles, he quickly separated himself from them and joined himself with the Jews. Paul saw that, and Paul rebuked him openly, because what he had done had created a really bad and negative effect on the Christians there. What is my point? My point is that when a person is insincere, it can have a really negative effect on others who are around, and listen to this now, on the person who's practicing that hypocrisy. So the point I'm making then is that it is important for us to strive to be genuine in everything that we do. In other words, what people see must be what they're getting. In other words, we want to make sure that what is on the outside is really what is on the inside, and what is on the inside is based upon the word of the Almighty God. That's important. Therefore, Christians must learn how to treat each other, that they should treat each other with love. That's what the passage says. You know, we must have sincere love for the brethren, a love that must be without hypocrisy, or a love that must be without pretense. Let us not act as though we love the brethren when deep down we don't. All right? If we don't, then we must sit down and work on that through prayer and the word of God. But we cannot be insincere in talking about our love for the brethren. So secondly, that leads me to my second point. To be genuine then means that what a person see is what they must get. I want to run that by you again. What they see is what they must get. Now, what do I mean by that? What a person sees will be our outward actions. They can't see our hearts, obviously, but they will see our actions. They'll hear our words. In Matthew 23, and look at verses 25 through to 28. Matthew 23, 25 through to 28. And this is important, brethren, because we live in a world that is immersed in pretense and hypocrisy and insincerity. So in Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28, the Bible says what?
Woe unto you, mm-hmm. scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, mm-hmm. for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
So on the outside they were clean, so to speak, but on the inside they were dirty. So this is the epitome of hypocrisy. And so here the Bible says that people were amazed by how clean the cup is on the outside, but on the inside it was different. In other words, what I'm saying, brethren, if the outside is going to be clean, it must begin with the inside being clean, so that what people see on the outside is really who we are. When they hear us speak about love, we can genuinely say that we do love. So when I say that I love the brethren, I love my brother, I love my sister, then we know for sure that we're saying something that is truthful, that we're not being insincere. That I love you as a brother is something that is coming from the depth of our hearts. When I say that I care about you, my sister, I'm saying that from deep down. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good to be said. I'm saying it because I am genuinely in care and concern of my brother or my sister. I tell you this much, my friend. It is much harder living a sham than being sincere, because you have to maintain that sham. And it is unnatural. You have to maintain it as much as it is possible. And it cannot be maintained, because eventually, people will find you out. Look at Numbers. In Numbers chapter 32, and this was during the time when they were on their journey from Egypt across the wilderness toward the promised land. And look at what God said in Numbers 32 and verse 23. Yes.
But if ye will not do so, mm-hmm. behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
Be sure it will surface. It will surface. In other words, we have got to strive to be genuine. If there's a great prayer that needs to be said, it is a prayer that says, Lord, help me to be true and genuine to your word. That is a great prayer that needs to be said today. If we say we love the brethren, then let our actions demonstrate that. As a matter of fact, you have heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. So it is better you keep quiet and let your actions speak for itself. Jesus says in John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, some very important words to his disciples. Words that you have heard before, but words that need to be said again. In John 13, 34 and 35, listen to what Jesus Christ says.
A new commandment I give unto you, mm-hmm. that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also should love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
No, by this, by what? By this sincere love, mm-hmm. genuine love. A love that is willing to act more than just talk. By this kind of love, all shall know that you are my disciples. You know, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, there's a word that is used by Peter And I want to point out again, read that passage again for me, my brother.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
See that you love one another with a pure heart. Look at this word now. Fervently. Fervently, in the original language, means to be stretched out. It's like you have an elastic band and you're stretching it to meet 2 points. In other words, it is admitted that sometimes it is not easy to love some brethren. And some brethren will say that it's not easy to love you also. As we strive to love one another, our love must be stretched. Stretched to love even the unlovable. In other words, what we're saying is that the word fervently means to make every effort. So don't sit back and say, Brother Upster, well, you know what? I will just sit back and resign to the fact that I will never be able to love him or to love her. No, the word fervently means to do something intensely and to make every effort with every muscle strain in our body, so to speak. So if we say that we love the church, it must be clearly seen. If we say that we love the Lord, our priorities will be a witness of that. And Jesus Christ did say in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As we strive to be genuine, as we strive to be true, as we strive to be sincere, let me tell you something, my friend. It does not matter what other people think, but it matters what God thinks. That's the crux of the matter. We must strive to be honest. For the Christian, honesty is not just the best policy. It is the only policy for the child of God. In Proverbs 19, verse 19, it's a passage that you do well to underline and keep very close to your heart. In Proverbs, the 19th chapter, I want you to see what the wise man Solomon tells us in verse 9 of chapter 19.
A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Mm-hmm. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again.
Oh, and therefore it is important. A false witness, in one translation, says he will not go unpunished. A false witness. So don't conjure up or concoct something to tell a lie on somebody. Don't do that. Don't say it because it sounds good. Don't be quick to jump to conclusion because it takes effort to dig for the facts. That's what it says. A lazy man jumps to conclusion because it takes effort to dig for the facts. So try not to quickly jump to conclusion about a brother or a sister or about anyone. Be sincere toward each other. So we must strive to be trustworthy. We must strive to be morally upright. We must strive to be a people of integrity. So that when we walk the streets, when we're in the grocery store, when we're at the ball game, when people see us, they're not seeing a different us. They're seeing the same us that they saw in worship service. Somebody who's true, somebody who's loving, somebody who's caring, and somebody who is sincere, who is the real deal. That's the value of sincerity. And my question to you this morning is, how do you rate your level of sincerity? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how do you rate your level of sincerity? I'm not in any way saying that all of us are, any one of us is perfect in that regard, but it is something that we must be striving hard to become, because we really want to be the kind of persons that God would have us to be. My friend, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the most sincere action that you can ever do in your life is to respond sincerely to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ did say that if you don't believe that I am the Son of God, you shall die in your sins, John 8 and verse 24. He tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. Well, if you do not repent, you will perish. That's what he says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 5. You must be willing to confess Jesus Christ, acknowledge him as the Son of God. Because if you don't, he will not confess you before his Father who is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And you must be baptized in water. For what? for the forgiveness of your sins, so that the blood of Jesus Christ can remove your sins spiritually and you'll be forgiven. That's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 and Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And after having become a child of God, you must remain faithful until death, because it is until then you shall receive a crown of life. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can become a Christian. If you're willing to sit down and study the Bible together, then please send me a text. Please give me a call, whatever you need to do. But please act sincerely before it is everlastingly too late. If you're a member of the church, but you have not been sincere in your worship, if you have not been sincere in living your life as a child of God, then what better moment to say, brethren, please pray for me, because I want nothing more than to present myself holy and unblemished before the Almighty God. Let us pray at this time. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word that has clearly taught us what it really means to be true, to be genuine in your sight. And Father, we readily admit that this is a challenge, living in a world where hypocrisy and insincerity has become like second nature. Help us, Father, to strive to be different by applying your words to our lives. For Father, you expect us to be the light of this world, to be the salt of this earth. Father, we want our good works to be seen by others so that you be glorified in heaven. So help us to be true to your word. Help us to be genuine in terms of our faith, and help us to be the kind of Christians that truly represent you wherever we are. Bless those who are not Christians, Father. May they respond to your word before time changes into eternity. It's in the Father, Son's name that we pray. Amen.